offering Christian greetings this morning in the name of Jesus, and it's good to be here again. It's been a while since I've been down here, but yeah, it's good to be here, and I want to again thank you, brethren, for your liberal gifts of money that you send up there to help us in our trips that sometimes we don't take. Yeah, thank you for that. And for those that know about, one of the reasons I didn't make it down here this summer was I had hurt my shoulder, and that's doing much better. I had surgery on it, and I'm not quite done with therapy, but it's getting close, so it's getting there. That was one reason, but it was so busy this summer that it was just hard to get away. So thank you for your gifts and your liberality and your I'm having a problem with this mat here. As I was thinking of a message, this past week, was it Jason or Dwight that asked me to preach? I don't remember, Jason. And it just seemed like there was only one message that came to mind, and it just never went away. So I want to take that opportunity to share that with you. It's a message that I shared in Farmington, or preached in Farmington at their deacon ordination. And I'm feeling fairly free to preach this message here because I'm not one of the local preachers. But the title is, Know Them Which Labor Among You. So this message is not going to be to Dwight and Jason, but it's going to be to you, folks. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now this message, he said, we beseech you, brethren. So it's not talking to the ministering brethren, it's talking to the church brethren. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and to know them just means to acknowledge, to appreciate, respect, understand, and consider. Labor means those that work hard. I mean, y'all know what labor means. It's working hard. People that get tired, that are fatigued, wore out, discouraged at times. Thought to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, to stand before preaching the word, to leading out, to presiding, to give direction. Admonish is to caution, to gently reprove, to warn. Esteem highly, very highly, is to listen what they say, and to respect what they say, and just, understand that what they're saying is God is asking them to say, to admonish, to lead, and then it's your job to esteem them, and to listen, and to acknowledge that their message is from the Lord. And be at peace among yourselves. Have peace of God in your own life, and be at peace among yourselves. When we serve God, this morning when you serve God, and you serve God, and you serve God, and I serve God, we are serving a God of peace. Is that correct? That's one of the attributes of God, is peace. Is that right? Okay. So when we serve God and we love God and we have God in our heart, you have God in your heart, you and you have God in your heart, then there should be peace among ourselves. Because we are part of God. Part of God is living here. The attribute of peace of God, the attribute of God, which is peace, should be evident and will be evident in our relation one with another. So to know them which labor among you, how can you help your ordained leaders in this battle of life, the battle of right and wrong, I mean truth and right? How can you help them? Number one, pray for them. Pray for them. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now this was Paul speaking here to the church at Corinth. And he said, we don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble that came to us in our trip to Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. You also helping us, you also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift, for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons' thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So Paul was just simply saying that when you pray for your leaders, when you pray for their life, for their message, for their family, when you pray for them as a person, that you are helping promote the work of God in the community, in the church, and in their lives. So pray for them. You know, you may think that when you're not standing behind the pulpit, when you're not up here preaching, when you're not having devotions, when you're not even leading out in devotions at home, that you're not really doing anything. You're not helping spreading the word. That is not true. Remember, when you spend time in prayer, you are enabling the person, the brethren, to work more effectively in the kingdom of God. So pray for your brethren. When you pray for them, God can move their heart to and mind to open their eyes to truth in the scripture, that they may not have thought about in a long time. And you have a need in that. To hear, to have it explained, to share. And when you pray for them, God is able to somehow in his wisdom, he knows what I need, he knows what you need, and he can bring that together for the glory of God. Pray for your brethren. You know, when you pray, you make the trials of life in the ministering brethren more bearable. Somehow we get the courage to take another step forward. We have the courage to make another phone call, to make another visit. We have the courage and the strength to go another step. We have the grace to straighten up our back when it's bent and we're all bogged down. We have the strength to, you know, to stand up. We get the strength to lift our eyes and get that sparkle of life back in our life. Never underestimate the value of prayer. The prayers of the saints of God. Not just for the leaders, but especially for them. For God's people all over the world. And especially for the brethren right here. Pray for them. Number two, be an encouragement. Be willing to be an encouragement. And, if need be, a humble instructor. Turn to Acts chapter 18. There's an interesting story here. About a couple and a very influential leader, preacher. Acts 18, verse 24 through 28. Verse 24 says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues." Now let's stop right there and look at this man. You know, Apollos, in today's world, would have been a very widely used evangelist. A very influential person. He would have possibly even been a little intimidating to approach because he was so widely known. He was used mightily of the Lord, it says, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Apollos would have been a man that could have handled himself very well behind the pulpit. I believe he could. And he was very diligent in teaching. He was not afraid to get up and preach a message. He was not afraid to, seems like he was not afraid to get up at the spur of the moment and just preach a message. But he had a need. I don't know what that need was. Let's read. He began, verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, I don't know what you think of Aquila and Priscilla, but I see a couple, who was willing to be used by God to instruct a man that had a need, to instruct a preacher, as it were, maybe taking him aside and saying, "Look, you need to, this and this and this should possibly change, and you would be much more effective in sharing the Word of God." Maybe he had some idiosyncrasies behind the pulpit. Maybe he had some problems in his personal life. I don't know what those problems were. But Priscilla and Aquila noticed this, and they were willing to, in a humble way, take him aside and teach him the way of God more perfectly, the Bible says. They were willing to be used by God to help the brother become more godlike. Now let's read. Continue reading. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews of that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, what else do you read about Apollos later on in scriptures? Anyone? You, what do you read about Apollos?
Well, in 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions him because he must have said he's a good evangelist that many people claim to be followers of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else?
I guess he said Paul said Apollos water. I think that's in the same passage.
Yeah, that's right. Paul would have agreed and would have acknowledged that, I'm not sure how does it say, one of them planted, I think it says that Paul planted and Apollos watered, or vice versa. So Apollos was a man mightily convincing and mightily used by God. And I think the reason he was because there was a couple that took him aside and showed him the way of God more perfectly. So be willing to be an encouragement. Be willing to be an instructor in an humble way. Help those that need help. Now, Apollos was also humble in that he received that help. So, yeah, let's be humble and receive help that as we need it. Even though Apollos was influential and persuasive and a minister of the gospel, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Paul does not mention Apollos' name, but later on in verse 6 he does. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I'm not hereby justified, but he that judged me is of the Lord. Verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. So Apollos was willing to receive the help that Aquila and Priscilla had for him. And because of his humility, because of his humbleness, and his willingness to receive that help, God was able to use him much more. So be willing, again, be willing to help your brethren. Whether it's in praying for them or helping them in their ministry. We don't have it all together. Romans chapter 16, I'd like to just notice that a little bit. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 and 4. Paul was giving recognition to this couple. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So this couple was a couple that was a blessing, not only to Apollos, but to the churches. The churches of the Gentiles, and to all the churches of the Gentiles. And Paul was very appreciative of their work that they did for him in his life. Because they were willing to be used by God in whatever capacity he called them to. So now, how well do you know your ministry? Do you know them well enough to know when he's troubled in heart? They're troubled in heart, he, they. When they're happy? When they're discouraged? When they're nervous? Like in front of a crowd like this? Do you know them well enough to know that, to pick that up? How well do you know your brother? You know, at home, I asked some of the brethren, in fact, I asked the brethren to give me some practical ways that they can think, that in ways that they can know their leaders. And the next, some points here, the core thoughts came from them. So this is not my thoughts, but it's their thoughts. Number one, to know our brethren, how can we know our brethren? Invest time in him as a person. Not as a minister, but as a person, just a person, an individual. Invest time in them. He is a normal person facing life just like you are. Life with struggles, loneliness, and at times not so holy feelings. Invest time in him as a person. He needs to sort out life's problems just like you do. You know, at times, he's just plain tired of being the go-to man in church. He really is. At least I can speak that for myself. And I'm sure that has happened. He's just plain tired of being the go-to man for everybody's problems. So be there to listen to his problems. He needs somebody to share with. And it's not just his wife. He needs brethren to share with. Be there for him. Listen to his problems, his struggles, his goals in life. Find out what's on his heart and be a friend. So be there. Invest time in him as a person. Number two, don't always think he has to walk beside you. But take the initiative to walk beside him. That's investing in him. You know, lifting up his hands when he's tired. You know, I thought of Aaron and Hur when Moses was, when the children of Israel were fighting the battle at Amalek. You remember that story when Joshua went down to fight the Amalekites, and as long as Moses held up his arms, Israelites had the victory. You remember that story? When he left, when he got tired and let down his hands, the Amalekites got the victory, or started having the victory. And they noticed this. The thought is, don't always think that your ministering brother have to walk beside you. You walk beside them. You help them in their struggles. In Exodus chapter 17, that's that story, 8 to 13. I'm not going to take time to read it. But Aaron and Hur did not chide Moses because you should be stronger. You should hold up your hand. You should be there for my people. They didn't chide him in that way. They didn't just encourage him to, well, God's grace is going to give you strength. Just keep on. God will give you grace. They didn't just do that either. What did they do? Anyone tell me.
One went on one side, other one on the other side, and they helped his hands stay up.
That's right. And what else did they do?
Got a rock for him to sit on.
That's right. They gave him a rock to sit on. So they brought him a chair, and he sat down, and then they stood there beside him, and they held up his arms. Now, do you think that Moses' arms got heavy for Aaron and Hur? You think it did? I'm convinced they did. You know, they didn't say, well, you should lose weight. Your arms are pretty heavy. He didn't say that. They just were there to help him. So invest time in him as a person and be there to help him. Don't think that he always needs to carry your problems. You help him carry his. They got right down in the trenches and walked with him. When was the last time you physically helped your ministry brother? I'm not talking about Dwight's new house. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about when was the last time you went and helped him do his work? Do things around the house. When was the last time you did that? I'm not going to ask for an answer, but I just want to leave that as a challenge. Number three, put forth effort to build a relationship with your ministry. Spend time with your ministry outside of church life. You know, when we only see the church side of a person, we will hardly get to know them very well. Doing everyday things together. Invite them to your home just because. Not because you had a burden on your heart to share with them in church life, but just invite them as a person. Just invite them, their family, to your house just because. Share a meal with them. Invite them on a fishing, hunting, boating trip. Just spend time with them. Show an interest in their life. Find out what they enjoy doing. You know, maybe it's not hunting and fishing. I kind of question whether our ministry brother here enjoy too much of that, but they might. At least not the way I know them. But maybe when yard sale. I don't know. Yard sales is not my thing, but it may be theirs, and it's okay. It may not be yours, but if they enjoy yard sailing, then spend time with them in going yard sailing, going to pawn shops. Whatever it is, show an interest. Do you know how they like their coffee? Is it black? Is it black or just cream? Or is it black? Is it coffee, cream, and sugar? It's kind of hard to call coffee with cream and sugar coffee, but that's the way it is. I could say something about Dwight's sugar in his coffee, but I won't. Do you know them well enough to know how they want their coffee? How well do you know your brother? Number four, work with them. Help them with projects around the house, in the shop. You know, it's not the project that's so important, but it's the companionship, the camaraderie, the time spent in investing in the brother. Maybe you think you don't have time to go and help, but I assume that most of you would want them to have time to come and help you if you have a need. Is that right? I would imagine. So spend some time with them. Help them. Take time off and just Be there for them. Remember, they are probably every bit as busy as you are, possibly even busier, because of the added responsibilities they have in the church. And their houses will fall down from lack of care and upkeep, just like yours will, if you don't do something about it. So they have work projects that are needing to get done. So spend time and work with them, help them. Talk, visit with them. You know, it's okay to visit with them about church life. It's okay. In fact, they need that. To hear the concerns of the church, your own problems and perplexities of life. They need to hear that. But if the only time you call them is when you have church bellyache, and there's just, you have another problem. If the only time you call them is because you have a problem, they may look at the phone and see the caller ID and just groan in the heart because it's that person again. We should not have these feelings, but sometimes we do. Talk and visit with your brethren. They need that. Not just church life, but visit with them. You know, when the only time we talk with them is when we want to discuss heavy church matters, yeah, it gets pretty tiring sometimes. I know we shouldn't feel this way, but we are human. So go above and beyond and be there for them and talk and visit with them and help them get over and move into there so they can gain fresh courage to help you. Number 6, give them the benefit of the doubt. When you hear something about them, don't just believe it right away. When you hear something about them that doesn't sound right, how do you know your brethren earlier? Does this sound like them? Don't just believe it every time you hear something and immediately believe it. Rather than believing everything you hear, go and talk to them. Ask them about it. Be willing to think charitable. You want the brethren to think charitable about you, return the favor, think charitably about them. Understand that maybe the person that's telling you this juicy tidbit of news has misunderstood, possibly. Or he has filtered this tidbit through his own feelings and understandings towards the brethren. Be willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Six or seven. Show an interest in what they're preaching and say. Understand that there's a lot of time, prayer, and effort put into message preparation. Be attentive to the message. Smile, be alert. You know, just listen. Your attentive facial feature, your smile, your sparkling eyes, and your willingness to listen is an inspiration to us. Now is not the time, in a message, now is not the time to pick up on a lost hour of sleep. It's not the time to admire your new shoes, or a new sweater, new dress, new breeches. It's not the time to do that. Now is the time to listen to the message. It's not the time to check your text messages. What was really interesting is in Farmington, There was no clock in the room, so I had laid my phone right here. And just as I said this, my phone buzzed. And I had to look over. I did not open it. But that's the way it is. When you can't handle it, leave it out in the car, leave it on the bench, leave it somewhere else. Now is not the time to check text messages or emails. You know, not every message preached will be in the top 10 that you have ever heard. But if you want to discourage a preacher, find fault with his message every time. Or never publicly give testimony. You know, we're not looking for commendation from the people. We're not looking for commendation from man, but from God. I know this. However, it gets really discouraging if nobody is ever blessed with the message. So if you're blessed, share it. Say it. Don't be exclusive. Now this was another. Don't be exclusive. This was talking from the brethren to other brethren in the church. You know, it's easy to kind of get into the rut of just talking to your friends, just talking to those that you sit around most of the time here in church. It's time to have your own little circle. But don't be exclusive. Visit with the brethren, and especially visit with your ministering brethren. If you really want to get to know those that labor among you, you will need to put forth an effort to take an interest in their life and person. Another thought is, don't be a fence rider. Either be a full-hearted supporter or go somewhere where you can support. It's really discouraging when you have a person that constantly sits on the fence and you don't know which way he will fall, which way he will go. You just don't know. Don't be a fence rider. You can make the workload of the ministry much, much lighter when you do what you say you will do and you keep your promises. Back to 1 Thessalonians. Verse 13, the last phrase, and be at peace among yourselves. A quote I heard at home at our ordination just recently was this. He said, fighting dogs don't hunt, and hunting dogs don't fight. Be at peace among yourself. If you are busy fighting, you are not busy doing the Lord's work. When you're busy doing the Lord's work, you're not busy fighting. They don't go together. Fighting dogs don't hunt, and hunting dogs don't fight. When we fight and bicker among ourselves, you will wear out your ministry spiritually, emotionally, and physically. When the ministry is busy putting out fires in the church, there will be little time or energy to fight the real enemy out there. There won't be any energy left. The work of God will suffer, and the kingdom of Satan will go unchecked. Don't be a fighting dog, but be a hunting dog, if you want to use that phrase. Now, if I may say just a couple words to you, Jason and Dwight. And I don't know, there's some retired brethren here, ministry brethren. I don't know if anybody else or not, but if there is, you can listen in. Another thought that a brother shared with me at home was, Some preachers don't want to be known. They don't want to be known by the brethren. They just rather stand aloof and just stand back and just kind of be untouchable. When we have that attitude, we will not be approachable. When we have that attitude, the brethren can't know us because we're not allowing them to know us. We cannot be standoffish and expect the brethren to know us. If we want the brethren to know us, we need to become vulnerable. And to become vulnerable, we must be willing to possibly be misunderstood, possibly be misinterpreted, misrepresented. We possibly might even have our we need to be willing to have our reputation drug through the mud. But we need to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable is to open ourselves to you as a brother, to share with them you, our victories, our goals, our testimony, and yes, our struggles, our failures and temptations. Please remember, we are not these superheroes that are on top of life all the time. We're not. We're human. And I know you feel that too. So if we're not a superhero that's always on top of life, then let's not act that way. Let's be willing to become real and just be real. You know, the more real we are with the brethren, the more real they will become to us. They're more willing to be real, become real, and allow us to see the real you. So if you want the brethren to be real with you, then be real with them. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 25, 23 through 25 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us." Let's stand for prayer.